That while you are sitting, I invite you to ask the Lord what is His plan for your life. Ask God what He has planned for your life. And see if you don't have a call to take the gospel. You know, we all have a call to take the gospel. We have a call to take the gospel to the grocery store, to the gas station, to the school, to the workplace, to Centerville, to Macon, to Warner Robins, to Fort Valley, to Crawford County. Wherever you live, you have a call to take the gospel. But some people have a call extra, an extra call where they're going to leave the boundaries of where they live to take the gospel. God is able to do above abundantly. Who He calls, He equips. And who He equips, He will send. And when you go, there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest. So we have three men up here. Now, we have a kind of a wrong idea sometimes about the call to the nations. Many of us think if you're called to the nations, that means you're going to pack up your house, you're going to sell your car, your home, everything you've got. You're going to get rid of it, and then you're going to go to Brazil, Jamaica, Trinidad, Arianjaya, wherever. But that's Philippines. But that's a wrong way to view your call to the nations. You could be called to the nations, but America is your home base. You go in and come back. Go in and come back. And you're going in obedience and ministering to people as God has called you to minister them changes their lives. So being called to go to the nation doesn't necessarily mean you are going to pick up your whole family and go. That's not necessarily what it means. It means that God has placed in your heart a desire to go cross-culture and minister to folks. That's all it is. There's people who are called to pick up their family and go, and there's those who are called to go short-term, 10 days, 5 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. But they have a home base. My vision, I've always, you know, my vision, I tell you guys my vision as they stand, they're young enough, they could stand a while. My vision was always to have a church that is could be home base for folks that go and come. Because I believe even in my life, God has a calling for me to go and come. And my prayer long ago was that, God, you would give me a church that is able to send me. Will able to send me. Because one of the things I totally disagree with is church begging for finances so that they could go. I've always said, I believe, Ed said this one time, and I think I've mentioned it a few times to a few folks. Who is reaching the rich folks? Who is ministering to the rich? Who is crying out that the rich get saved? Guess what? We need the rich. Because as God opens the door in this church and starts sending these folks that are called to the nations, we need to be able to be there to send them. You know, I don't know about you, but I just hate the fact begging for money to go do God's work. And I really believe that God can take Shalom Christian Fellowship in a direction when we are sending people to the nations, we are able to send them. I really believe that. So we need to be adding this to our prayer because it's a vision. We want these people to go from where they are to where God wants them to be. And we want to be a part. You know, it's strange of the songs Ed picked this morning because in the scripture we're supposed to preach this morning to talk about Jesus Christ, our rock. And it's strange he chose these songs. So we'll talk about that shortly. And I'm not going to keep you long. You know, sometimes when I get excited, but I'm not going to keep you long. But let's pray for these three young men that God has a call on. Some of their calls is not far, far away. And some of their calls are across the sea. Well, we're not going to let the children go, because by the time we finish, they won't even get into what they need to get into. So the children would stick behind. I'm sorry, kids. I know you guys want to go have some extra fun over there. But just have fun with me for a few minutes. Have fun with me for a few minutes. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're just going to touch on it, and then more next week. But Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me tell you something. We may have different ways of seeing things, but when God puts you together, there is a reason. You know that? There is a reason. Sometimes I see, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at some married couple and I said, how did she end up with him? Or how did he end up with her? But you know something? There's a reason. God put them together for a reason. Okay? And if you stick with them long enough, you finally see why. You finally see why. Even though sometimes you when you look at them, you say, boy, they are so different men, and they conflict each other every now and then. You wonder. But first Friday, it was cold. Very cold. And I debated not to go, so I called around to see if everybody else were going. And I said, if they're going, I'm going to go. So I called James, and he said his dad's still planning to go. His dad called me. He's still planning to go. I went, George said, if we're going, he's going to go. He's going to suffer and go. I called Deshaun. He said he's going. And we all went to First Friday. And we met these two young men. And can't remember the names. What was the names? Zach and Dustin. Now, we minister. I never thought we'd get to minister to a lot of people. But we sure did in the cold. And let me show you how God brings people together. I may not get to the text. We're walking down Cherry Street. Now, I know this may not sound very spiritual to you, but I want you to see how God works. I want you to see. I saw how God works, and I hope you see how God works. Here is Deshaun. He's talking to every single person. Hey, how you doing? And he's the one who's getting them to stop. I don't do that when I go to witness. I usually walk and target one, and you know, after I build a little bit of courage, I go over there and I strike up a conversation. Not Deshaun. Deshaun just got it at him. Hey man, how you doing? Hey bro, you know, and stops, and I'm just amazed. And then we all end up ministering to these people. But when we got to these two folks, I saw how God put people together. When George opened his mouth to talk to the guy who thought he was a god, and but he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he, you know, and George was telling him some stuff, and I'm going, I would have never known to tell him that. I don't even know that stuff. And George is giving him some historical facts about Christ, about the Bible, about the prophets. And I'm going, whoa. Then I come in and I giving him the practical facts about my life. And then Deshaun has the other one on the side that is more willing, feel like he is one that will take what we have to say to the side out of that whole conversation. And after the fact, I said, this is how God works. You never know why God put people together. Sometimes you may have a little bit of difference, do things a little differently, understand things a little differently, but when God puts you together and he allows you to minister together, you see why. Because I wouldn't have had what George had to give to that guy. George didn't have what I had to give to that guy. And we didn't have what Deshaun have to give to that guy. But God knew how to put us together so that we could minister in such a way that we could reach that guy in many different areas of his life through ministry. They need prayer. I pray that you guys would remember them in your prayer, because I'm pretty sure they came up somewhere in church and something went haywire somewhere. But God can touch their lives and bring them around. But it was, even though I was cold, shaking inside, I was so cold, but the experience, I told you, it was a good night. It was a good night. And so when God brings us together, God didn't make a mistake when he brought this group here together. We may be from different backgrounds. We may have a little bit of different insight, but God does not make mistakes. He has it all here together for a reason. And guess what? That reason is happening in spite of who we are. That's why God has us here. All right. Let's go to that scripture quickly. Quickly to that scripture, because I got to tell you something. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, I believe. But we're going to start from just above that. Just above it in 31. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Praise God. But we're going to go to verse 30 in 31. Then Moses spoke the words of this song until they were finished in the ears of all the assembly of Israel. Now, I'm only going to read that next week. We'll go further, but this is why I'm reading that. God told Moses to write a song. If you go back to Deuteronomy 31, verse 14, And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the day approaches when you must die." So Moses is dying. That's not where it is. Let's go. 19. He talks about how the people is going to turn their backs on him. And then he said, "Now therefore write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness to me against the people of Israel." He told Moses to write a song. Okay? In verse 21. So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel. And then we go back to chapter 32. It says, "Give ears, O heaven, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like rain, my speech distilled as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe glory to our God." God wanted him to write a song. Now, I can see why Ed is very particular about his songs. I can see why. Now, could anybody tell me a song they knew when they were about 6 years old from Sunday school? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." Singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Is that biblical? All right. Now, how old are you? You're 18 years old. Almost 18. 18 years old. All right? She knows that song. Let me sing you one I know from a kid. I met Jesus at the crossroad, where the two ends meet. Satan too was standing, he said, come to me this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus there. I see what he offers me. Down here my sins forgiven, up there a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the place for me. My great aunt, she's dead and gone, when I was about 6 years old, taught me that song. Anybody else have another song? They knew when they was it? Anybody? Loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Why did God tell Moses to write them a song? I mean, songs are easy to remember. Not only that, if you sing a song long enough, you would never, ever forget it. In fact, in Anya's class when she was growing up, they taught them a song to remember the days of the months. When I was growing up, they taught me a song to remember the alphabet. They even taught us a song to remember the books of the Bible. That's why it's very important that the songs that we embed in our heart is doctrinally sound. And one of the things that's going to happen with those songs is, you know what it's going to do? It's going to be a judge. Because he said, write these songs so that it would be a judge against them. You know, 2 more minutes. I shouldn't say that. I may be lying. A few more minutes. He told them to write a song. And I wanted to preach about the rock because it's coming up and all of that. But look at some of the songs we sang this morning. Now, you know something I see? If you look at a lot of the hymns, most of the hymns have a very strong doctrinal statement within them. Most of our worship song has little doctrine in it. Now, you could find worship songs with good doctrine, but for the most part, if you want to find solid doctrinal truths in songs, go look at some of the hymns. In fact, one of the hymns that came to my mind was, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. That's the first song that came to my mind. I've known that song. I don't know all the words because we stopped singing it. But it's a powerful doctrinal song. And guess what? If we start to put solid doctrine in our hearts through song, it's going to be good for us. Do you know in my car, you would not hear country music? You wouldn't hear, when I say country music, secular. You wouldn't hear the good old oldies. You wouldn't hear... Now, when I lend my car out, I always know when I lend my car because somebody always changed my station. You know, and then I wonder, I hope nobody drove my car before I changed the station. I think that's what I listen to. But think about it. I love music is such a thing that stays with you for such a long time. Why would you want something other than sung doctrine to stay with you? You know, I used to hate it when I worked at Save-A-Lot, because sometimes those songs that they're playing all day gets in my head and I just can't stop singing them. There's something about music and song. We had some good ones this morning. And guess what? When you decide to live your life however you want to live your life, and you say you don't want to, you go to the place where you don't want no longer to live for God, those songs is going to be a testimony against you. You know what? I love hymns. In fact, I could worship the Lord with hymns. Some people won't understand that. I grew up with hymns. And I grew up with worship because I went to a Pentecostal church. But they sang just as many hymns as they sang worship songs. Let's not get away from strong doctrinal truth in our music. Let's stick to it. You know, don't go for it because it has a good melody. Because the wrong thing could stick with you. Because let me show you how it could stick with you. You may pick up just the little piece that you like me. If you like me, I could sing one phrase of a song over and over and over and never get tired of it. Some people don't like that. Jill get frustrated with that. Ed probably will blow his top if you hear me all the time. He'll say, where's the rest of the song? Right? But in my heart, that song is doing something. Just those words. Song is important. Doctrine is important. And this is what the song was going to do. And I'll end here. The song was going to be like rain and dew. And it was going to fall on them, and they will tend the grass and strong herbs. But the song was going to proclaim the Lord and ascribe greatness to the Lord. That's the first verse in his song. See, he's going to proclaim the Lord and ascribe greatness to the Lord. When we sing, what are we doing? We are proclaiming the Lord and ascribing greatness to the Lord. That's what we're doing. And this week, you know how we have the Our Father prayer? If you do not know how to hallow his name, go to this first portion of his song and see who God is. It's going to tell you some of the stuff that God is. But I'll stop there because my 2 minutes has long overdue. We'll talk about them next week. So put a song in your heart, a song that you want to be like rain and water and dew on your heart, that will teach you and that will proclaim the Lord and ascribe glory to his name.